Well, I do want to welcome you to one of the two most celebrated services within the Christian church, Easter and Christmas. And now at the beginning of the year, we hit on the first most celebrated service within the Christian church, Easter. What makes them so celebrated is the fact that they are so incredible. They are incredible because they speak to us powerfully about the miraculous. They speak to us powerfully of how God reaches down with his hand and he engages in our worlds and how he brings transformation to our lives. And yet the interesting thing is this, with such incredible events like Easter and like Christmas, in the midst of the celebration, the angels' heads almost must jerk when they hear that 25% of Christians don't believe in the resurrection. Can you believe that? 25% of Christians say that they don't believe in the resurrection because it just seems too incredible. In fact, just recently, a bishop from the Anglican Church in England has said, you really can't know for sure whether all of it's true that you find in the Bible about the resurrection of Christ. Well, let me say this. If you've ever been there, don't feel guilty about that. And maybe even if you're there right now, don't feel guilty because you're in pretty good company. Because the truth of the matter is, you're not the only ones. You're not the only generation. You see, even Jesus' followers didn't believe in the resurrection. So that can bring you a little bit of a sigh of relief of knowing that maybe if you're struggling with it or in the back of your mind you still hold some doubts, that's okay. Jesus' followers didn't believe themselves. Because you know what the problem is? When we look at life, we look at it in a one-dimensional mindset. And we don't really look at it in a 3D. Let me just kind of demonstrate some of this. I'm going to take you to our first passage that I want to look at this morning. This is from Luke's Gospel, just to prove the point. Look what we read. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, why did they go to the tomb with prepared spices? Because they thought Jesus was dead. They didn't go to the tomb hanging around waiting for Jesus to rise again. They really didn't believe that was going to happen. They thought that Jesus was dead. Why did they think Jesus was dead? Same reason that you and I have struggled with that, because when you're dead, right? I mean, you know what dead is? Dead doesn't have a pulse, dead doesn't breathe, dead doesn't speak, dead doesn't get up and move around. When you're dead, you're dead. That's why we don't believe in something like this. We don't believe in it because, well, quite frankly, most of the people around us don't believe in it. And so it's easy to say, look, this can't be true. If you took a poll, the majority of people you would find in the world, most people would say, when you're dead, you're dead. And dead people don't get up and walk around. We don't believe in it, or we can struggle not to believe in it, because we know that it just seems too incredible. I mean, what does it take to bring a dead person back to life? I mean, I'm sure you've watched all sorts of TV shows and dramas and hospital dramas when they're trying to bring some dead person back to life and they're beating on their chest and they're sticking IVs in them and they're doing everything and nothing. And then they just call it time of death. It seems too incredible. It's hard to believe because we don't have the evidence for something like that. And the early believers didn't believe because they still hadn't come to understand that Jesus is God. And that's a struggle for all of us. How can a person be a person and at the same time be God? You see, we look at things in a one-dimensional light. And that's what went on with these ladies as they went as devoted people, as people who loved Jesus. As they went to pay respect, but they were not expecting anything in return. Move to the next slide. While they were wandering about, this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So it wasn't just that the women didn't believe. It was the men who didn't believe. It was Jesus' disciples who didn't believe. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, just think about it. These were the people that traveled with Jesus. They were with Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They listened to all of his sermons. They watched him engage in miracles with the fish and the loaves and multiplying them. They even saw him heal those who were sick. And in fact, they even saw him raise the dead. And yet, when it came to him, they didn't believe it. Even when he told them, "On the third day, I will rise again," they still didn't buy it. Why? Because like all of us, we see life one-dimensional. Look what we read later with Thomas. "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nail marks were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now, so you've got the disciples who don't believe, even though they've been told by women. Now, you've got Thomas, who's been told by all of the disciples and all the, I mean, just a majority opinion coming to him saying, "Look, he really has risen from the dead." And Thomas says, "I don't believe it." Why? Because I see life one-dimensionally. When you're dead, you're dead. That's just the way it is. You see a dead animal, you know what's going to happen to that animal soon enough. But see, that's the problem. We look at life one-dimensionally, and we miss things. I was in a store a couple days ago, and I was looking at these pictures that were three-dimensional pictures. And they were really, really cool what they did with the computer. And one of the things about a three-dimensional picture is you get to see more of what's going on. This happened to be within a city and city buildings. And you actually got to see different sides of the buildings that you normally wouldn't see in a one-dimensional picture. See, our problem is, when it comes to the resurrection, we see through one-dimensional eyes. So what's the answer to that? You add another dimension. You add a dimension called faith. And faith is based upon this. Faith is about letting the spiritual inform what is possible. Faith is about letting the spiritual inform what is possible. Because in the physical world, you're only seeing in one dimension. But to understand something like the resurrection, You're never going to understand it in one dimension. And so you have to look at it in another dimension. You have to let the spiritual inform what's possible. We do it all the time. In our minds, when every time we try to think about doing the right thing, we think about the right thing according to what is the best thing, what is the moral thing based upon what is good for everyone in theory. Now, we don't come to it by looking around the earth and finding clues. We come to it by moving into another dimension of thinking. We do it when, every time you look for hope in hopeless situations. You see, in hopeless situations, you only got one dimension, right? And so you start to think about what's possible. And the only way you get there is by thinking beyond just what is physical. We do it every time there are hard questions of life. Where did I come from? What am I here for? Where am I going? You see, just the one dimension of the material world doesn't tell you any of that. And so you have to start becoming spiritual. You have to start thinking spiritually. You have to start letting the spiritual inform what is possible, because the material can't do that. Now, what do I mean by spiritual? Because if you were go on the internet and look for what spiritual is, boy, I mean, you get all sorts of different terms. Spiritual isn't what would Harry Potter do, okay? That's not spiritual. Spiritual isn't thinking as if I was in a video game of The Legend of Zelda and I have all these little tools I can skip through the universe. That's not spiritual. All that's just whimsical. Let me give you a definition for spiritual, and hang on to that, because you're not going to find a good definition. It's hard to find a good definition of spiritual. Spiritual is connecting with the image of God and conforming to the will of God. Spiritual is connecting with the image of God, who he is, and conforming to the will of God. Because think about it. When I think spiritually, that doesn't mean just sitting on a mountaintop, folding my hands and legs, and just humming. There's nothing spiritual about that. Spiritual means that I'm getting past the metaphysical, and I'm going where only God can be. And I'm looking for God to inform me. And I'm looking to do what is his will. Spiritual is connecting with the image of God and connecting and conforming to the will and the image of God. So what does that tell us? Well, how do we get there? How do we know that? At the end of the day, spiritual is what's going to be biblical. Because the Bible helps us to know who God is and who we are and what he desires from us. And then we get to take that and say, does that match life? Does that connect? And what we find, and what I trust many of you have found because you're sitting here, is it connects. It answers a question. Spiritual helps us to understand what is right with God, because we look to what is biblical to find out. And spiritual helps us to understand, how do we overcome a problem like sin? How do we overcome hurt? How do we overcome betrayal? Understanding what's spiritual helps us to know how much God loves us. Because when we know what's biblical and we understand that in Adam and Eve, men rejected God and turned towards sin, and they became sin, and they couldn't get rid of it. And so God so loved us that he sent his son to come and die for us and take on our sin. And right away, spiritual informs what's possible. Because right away in the spiritual, God came in the material world and did something incredible. He became man. Fully God, fully man, so that to die on the cross, he would represent us and yet do what we can't do. Be sinless and overcome the grave. You see, when you look at the resurrection, you have to look at it and understand. It's like everything else. You have to begin with the spiritual. Otherwise, you won't know it's possible. If you don't begin with the spiritual, you won't understand the material. You won't understand the physical. We begin with the spiritual, and then we look at the resurrection. It makes perfect sense. In fact, when we begin with the spiritual, we look at the physical, and we say, of course, God had to do it this way. And in fact, we say, this was brilliant. How else was a holy God going to dwell in the presence of sinful people who rejected him? By becoming man, taking on their sin, dying for them, and extending to them eternal life. Look what we see in John's gospel. Then he, and this is when Jesus shows up to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know who he was talking about? You. He was talking about each one of you. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. Why? Because they don't walk in a one-dimensional world. By faith, they let the spiritual inform what's possible. And they find out that in Christ, all things are possible. And that's incredible. Why do we celebrate the resurrection? We celebrate it because we understand that the spiritual informs what's possible, and through what's possible, God makes it incredible. Blessed are you who don't see and believe. You know what the word blessed means? It means to have God's favor. Isn't that cool? You believe, you have God's favor. You have eternal life. You have the power of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have God's hand on your life. Blessed are you because you believe. And you're not willing to just live convinced by the one-dimensional. And that's a powerful thing. Because it means that you can live in this world and know that death is swallowed up in victory. If I ask you to raise your hands, how many of you are afraid to die? Most of you would raise your hands. Why? Because death isn't natural. But I got good news for you. It's already done. It's over with. It is over with. Because the spiritual has already informed the physical. When you accepted Christ, you were crucified with Christ, and you no longer live, but Christ lives within you. Which means simply this. Death is a done deal. It's over with. Jesus made a way from the grave to eternity. The only dead people are the people who still live in one-dimensional worlds. The people who still don't understand or refuse to see or believe what the world says and won't grasp. But for those who believe, Jesus said there is eternal life. You don't have to fear death. It's over with. The minute your heart stops, the minute your breathing ceases, the minute your mind shuts down, that very minute, on the other side of paradise, it starts again. The brain becomes active. Your lungs fill with the air of rejoicing and the power of God. Because absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's a done deal. It's understanding that death gets swallowed up in victory and that we're free from being guilty. What does a resurrection mean? It means that all things are possible because I'm not guilty anymore. I don't have to live feeling condemned by God. I don't have to live feeling like I'm not worthwhile, because God has already determined you are worthwhile. That's why I sent my son to die for you. That's why he rose again from the grave for you. You don't need to walk around thinking I'm not good enough. How could you not be good enough when God has given you eternal life and called you one of his own children? Death becomes swallowed up in victory. We no longer need to live feeling guilty. And we now have the peace and love that comes that we can live in unity with everyone. Why? We don't have to fight for what we want or what we need. God will provide. If God has overcome death in our life, he can overcome the little things within our lives. Since yesterday, I was reading an article on Rick Warren. Some of you probably, how many of you have read A Purpose-Driven Life? Okay, good number. It is my understanding the second most popular book next to the Bible. Ready for that? Rick Warren, in an interview in 2005 with U.S. News and World Report, said this: it brought in a ton of money. I like that. A ton of money. What did it bring in? I think at the time of this, it was like $30 million. The first thing we decided was that we wouldn't let it change our lifestyle one bit. Well, of course, none of us would, right? Even after achieving notoriety and great prosperity, Warren and his family continued to live in the same home and drive the same vehicle. He said, "Next, I stopped taking a salary from the church. Then I added up all the church had paid me in the previous 25 years and I gave it back. Living on only 10% of the income, he and his wife began to give away the rest in a type of reverse tithing process. So instead of tithing 10%, they turned around, we'll keep 10% and give 90% to God." Warren told a reporter who asked him gleefully how much money he had. This was the first interview after having returned to the church all the money he had paid over the 25 years. He said the reporter was visibly disappointed to learn that the Warrens, who returned all their salary, lived off 10% of their income, distributed the 90% to three different ministries, and continued to live in the same house and drive the same cars. The reporter had nowhere to go to question Warren's financial integrity. And yet the interesting thing is, J.K. Rowling, who wrote Harry Potter, who made over $5 million, excuse me, yeah, no, I don't have the number for that, I'm sorry.
First author billionaire.
Well, that's nice. That must include all of them, right? Yeah. All right, anyways, I'm getting dizzy. No record of any great giving. Al Gore, who was vice president of the United States, through his whole global warming initiative, made over $100 million. No record of any big giving. What makes someone who gets that abundant, that ton of money thrown at him, just freely and cheerfully give it away? He lets the spiritual inform what's possible. You've heard me say before, Rich Mullins, huge songwriter within Christianity, made millions, chose to live off $24,000 a year and give the rest to the poor. Why? Because he let the spiritual inform what's possible. Because after seeing Jesus rise from the dead, after believing and experiencing God's favor in our belief, it becomes easy. It becomes natural when the spiritual informs what's possible. And yet if we live one-dimensionally, if we live lives that are only consumed by what's physical and what's material, then very little will be possible. And we will end our lives in great disappointment and even despair. So I want to encourage you. When you go forth today, throughout the week and the weeks to come, I want you to just stop and ask yourself, am I living, letting the spiritual inform what's possible? Am I living in the power of the resurrection of Christ, knowing that all things are possible? And in the process, seeing God bring about what's transformational in our lives and in this world. See, the good news of the resurrection is that you now get to see in 3D. You now get to cast your lots with Christ and to believe and then to see all the possibilities that you never saw before and get to live them out. I've never met anyone who has done this, never, who has said to me at the end of their lives, yeah, that was a bum deal. That should have gone with the money. I've never heard that, honestly. And I've watched people with a lot of money die not happy. I've watched people with a lot of power and influence that can't take cancer away. And yet I've watched people who have loved Christ, who have known cancer can't take my life away, because death was a done deal for me a long time ago. Because when you let the spiritual inform what's possible, everything becomes possible in Christ. Let's join our hearts in prayer.